following program is brought to you in living color.
Now here's a bottle of wine that's really a bottle of wine. This was made by our Iceman's grandfather. Same as he used to do in the old country. He puts the grapes in the bathtub and he jumps on them. I saw him do it.
Why didn't he take his socks off?
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Two words, therapy.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That is us. That's the purpose we serve. We are your virtual media font of wine information. And we are off and running to a nice, lovely, peaceful show today. Yes, we have gone through anger. We have gone through apathy. And Kent, what's after apathy?
Peace.
Peace. We're not quite at
peace. You reach that peaceful place. Are you there?
Well, I'm at the peaceful place because I just really don't care anymore.
Oh, it's the okay. Then that's downtown from apathy.
It is. It's way far downtown from apathy. I'm in the whatever. I have decided I have found Zen.
Oh, Zen. Okay.
Zen. I have found Zen. I'm just going to let everything happen all the way around me, and whatever happens, and however we wind up on top, so be it.
Okay. Okay. Does that mean that no actual preparation went into the show? Is that basically? Are we just zenning today?
We are just zenning today, all the way through. Well, actually, the good news is I don't truly have to prepare for today's show because I have an absolute fantastic guest. We are going to be hosting Mr. Alex Sokolblosser. For those of you who are loyal to the show, you know that I went out to Oregon roughly 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago and spent some time up in that absolutely wonderful state in the Dundee Hills and Willamette Valley. And Alex is going to join us today to teach us a little bit about Oregon, talk a lot about Sokolblosser, and just really have a great time. Kent, are you hanging in okay?
I thought my mic was off and I thought I'd clear my throat, but then I guess not.
Okay, now for our listeners, if I have that moment where I'm choking to the point where water is running down my eyes, Kent will look at me through the booth and say, make the break. Oh, but Kent can do whatever he wants to on air.
I'm just glad it wasn't worse.
It must be nice to be king.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, having fun on The Crush today. But before I get further into talking about today's show and the guest and the general theme, I do have to give my wine recommendations. But it does tie together in a sense. We're going to talk a lot about actual place today. We've talked about terroir. We've talked about sense of place. It's something we try and beat to death here on The Wine Crush. But ultimately, what makes a winery? We talk about the winemakers. We talk about the grapes. We talk about the ratings. But obviously, what makes the winery is the dirt, the sense of place, and where it's located. And how much do your neighbors come into effect when it comes to making your wine successful and making people aware of where your wines are? So our wine recommendations pretty much follow that theme. The white for today, I'm actually venturing across the pond because it's that time of year where this is a really good wine for everyone to consume, but a lot of people don't understand it. The wine I'm picking is Chateau du Sancerre, and that's Chateau, D-U-S-A-N-C-E-R-R-E. Now, it is French, but we'll forgive them for this because they do an exceptional job on it. Now, Sancerre is certainly a style of wine. You can find a lot of Sancerres. The one I'm actually recommending is Chateau du Sancerre, and it's the French way of saying Sauvignon Blanc. Now, they do it a lot differently than they do it in New Zealand. They do it differently than we do it in California. It's very stoic. It's a very reserved wine. But what I love about Chateau du Sancerre, despite its history, is it tends to open up a lot. It gives you the great flavors of varietal. If I told you that I had a wine that tastes like peaches and tastes like orange blossoms, and you smelled mineral, stone, a little bit of concrete, and a little herbaceousness on it, and then I told you it was a Sauvignon Blanc, you would have thought I'd consumed too much alcohol. But ultimately, that's what we're doing with Chateau du Sancerre. It's very lively. The 2008 vintage, you get a lot of honey blossoms. You get a little gardenia off it. You get some peach rind. You get some orange flavors to it. Ultimately, it's wonderful. There is a hint of grapefruit on the finish. But what's strange about this wine, it has serious power to it. A lot of people think of Sauvignon Blancs as, oh, this light, acidic, okay, fine, it's great with seafood, let's move on. Sancerre almost has a tannic structure to it where you can actually taste and feel it in your mouth. So that is our white recommendation, Chateau du Sancerre. What's interesting is Chateau du Sancerre, the actual wine, when we're talking about place and your neighbors, this is the one that made the region. This is the one that defined Sancerre for what it was. Monks were making wine there in the 8th and 9th century. The Casa La Pistole Marnier people bought this castle in 1919, and they've been making wine thereabouts ever since. Small breaks for a couple boars here and there. But ultimately, this sense of place, this castle is what made the region, and this wine is what pretty much decided that it was going to be something world-renowned. So do find that white. Now, as far as reds, I'm going to keep on this kick for a while. We're looking at Merlot. Once again, remember, everyone in America talks dry, drinks sweet. You want something you can approach. If I told you I had this really soft, supple, great wine that had a lot of black fruit, had a lot of cherries, had chocolate in it, you'd say, yes, that's perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for. But then if I said Merlot on the back end, you'd look at me and say, no, I'm not doing it. But today I'm going to recommend the BR Cone Merlot. I think some of you who have been true, dedicated listeners over the years, remember Dan Cohn was on the show about 2 or 3 years ago and told the great story. B.R. Cohn is, of course, Bruce Cohn. He was the manager of the Doobie Brothers. But their Merlot is from Sonoma. And to me, when you taste this Merlot, you understand what Merlot from Sonoma should taste like. You understand how it's made its neighbors. You understand how it's made its reputation. But definitely, I would look for the BR Cone Merlot. It does have the black fruit, does have the cherry, does have a lot of chocolate to it. And what's great, it has a nice oaky characteristic that's not overwhelming. So you get all the greatness and all the lushness of the fruit. It's sexy, it's racy, it's wonderful. But yet, you aren't overwhelmed and feel like you're chewing on a tree like you do with some new release Merlots and Cabernets coming out of the same region today. So there are your wine recommendations. Shop carefully as we come up on the weekend. I think both of them you'll find will be perfect for this time of year and everything that's coming off the grill. But when we look and talk about sense of place, this is what started it. You know, of course, having Alex on the show today will make a difference. But there was an article from the North Bay Business Journal, and the whole concept is Destination Council prepares for a new era. And what it did is it talked about Napa Valley and the tourism highlights. And this just fascinated me, too, of the facts that I got off this. Every 24 hours, guests of the Napa Valley spend approximately $4 million in local business. So every 24 hours, people who are going up to see what makes Napa, what is Napa, and the wineries in Napa spend $4 million. Now, of course, some of that's on wine, some of that's on tasting rooms, but it also means it's supporting the local economy and that people are experiencing Napa Valley like they should. They're seeing it as an entity. And a lot of that, I think, is focused on the fact, of course, we all know Napa Valley. It wasn't the first place to have wine in the United States, but it certainly was the most famous. It was the little darling. And we look at what's been made of Napa Valley, whether it's the movies that have come out of Napa, whether it's the French Exposition, whether it's the actual wines, whether it's all the books. And you can definitely see where Napa has been cultivated. So the question becomes a chicken and an egg thing. Are the wines from Napa Valley successful because they're absolutely exceptional? Or are they great because it's Napa Valley? And we're going to look at that a little bit more in depth today. But going back to some of my little facts, in that same article it mentions the tourism dollar has a tremendous reach. Tourism spending affects 196 different industries in Napa County. And I have to admit, we all had a little bit of fun with this, sitting down trying to list out the different things that we thought might be affected by the wine business. And of course, there's the glass companies, there's the restaurants, there's the linen companies, there's the buses, there's the limos, there's hot air balloons, but really 196. Kent, any thoughts?
Not a one. Not a single thought.
196 possible industries, and you can come up with nothing.
I'm sorry, I'm blank.
You weren't listening again, weren't you?
Well, I was watching something over here. I was watching a piece of equipment.
So not only are you going to cough through my show, you're not going to listen.
Are you going to do this again this week? Are
me?
You going to start
me?
All over me?
Hey, no, this is not me doing this. You're supposed to be one person paying attention to me
I'm
all the way
guy,
through.
I have to watch the dials and the knobs. You know that's my job.
Yes, of course.
I have to do that.
Yeah, never. No.
Well, what was the question
that.
Again?
But actually, since my producer won't seem to listen, I encourage y'all to call in. 196 different industries that are affected by different wineries. The fact that we have a group of wineries right there together on the Silverado Trail on Highway 29 and it brings that much money in and that much revenue as Napa as a whole. What are the 196 industries? Call me, 877-4CRUSH1, or email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Hey, by the way, thank you. I don't know where I have more listeners or y'all are just more active bunch, but I like the fact that all of you are emailing me directly. It makes it a whole lot more entertaining to look at my BlackBerry. Well, we're going to take a small break right now, but when we return, we're going to take some emails and talk a little bit more about sense of place and which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at WineCrush Radio. This is The Wine Crush. Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, cold garage and pit passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, cold garage and pit passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we're talking about geographical place. And not necessarily the dirt, not necessarily the terroir, not necessarily the wines that are made there, but how they affect everything. Before the break, we threw some interesting facts out about Napa and the tourism industry and people coming to that particular region. But there's also another interesting story out there right now. And actually, it's less of a story, more of a news release. But the California legislature has approved a bill for Sonoma County wine labels. Now, what ultimately this comes down to is if you say Russian River on your wine label, or if you say Dry Creek, you are going to have to start putting Sonoma Valley on the actual wine label. And I have to admit, as long as I've been in the wine business, I never really thought about this. If you actually look at a bottle from Napa Valley, whether it says Oakville, whether it says Rutherford, whether it says Calistoga, always below that it does say Napa Valley. If I go to the same shelf and I look and I'm looking at the shelf and it says Dry Creek, it says Russian River, it says North Coast, it says other specific things, in no way, shape, or form does that tell you it's in Sonoma. So that in itself has probably led to a lot of confusion, a lot of people not necessarily drinking Sonoma wines. In fact, to the point where I overheard this about 4 weeks ago. I was sitting at a table in a restaurant, and the gentleman and lady were sitting next to me. They were ordering wine, and the sommelier came over, and the sommelier said, "Oh, well, I've got this lovely Cabernet." And the gentleman said, "Oh, well, where's it from?" And the sommelier said, "It's from Alexander Valley." His wife leaned over and said, "I don't want anything from Alexander Valley. I want something from Sonoma." Now, we all know what my personality dictates. So, of course, I'm sitting over there drinking my Chardonnay and I'm giggling. I'm thinking I ought to give her a card for the Wine Crush. That way she'd know more about wine. Mm-hmm. But after reading this, I understand now why some people might not grasp that. They may not realize that this AVA is actually part of Sonoma. So that goes back to the fact that, yes, this is going to help Sonoma as a whole. How many people out there have gone and found wines they absolutely love from Russian River, Pinot Noirs, and Chardonnay, but not been able to tie the two together? So the question becomes, if Napa's done it, if Paso Robles has done it, if St. Lucia has done it, how come it's taken this long for Sonoma to get on board, and how much revenue have they lost by people not realizing that these world-class AVAs are actually part of Sonoma Valley? So it goes back to chicken or egg. Did the Valley create these great wineries, or did the wineries create the great vineyards? Who knows? It's going to be interesting to actually look at, and hopefully Alex from Soka Blaster, when he joins us, we can do that about Oregon. Well, right now, believe it or not, the show is all about you, as we like to say around here, and I do have a couple of interesting emails. For those of you who have your own wine questions, once again, my email is lauralawson@winecrush.com. This email is from Brant in Bryce City. Bryce City. Is that Tennessee?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brant writes, "I eat a lot of sushi in a lot of Asian-themed restaurants, and it seems that all these wine lists feature sweeter wines, mostly white wines, whereas I know that would appeal to you, it doesn't necessarily appeal to me. Because most sushi is made out of tuna or salmon, shouldn't this be Pinot Noir I'm drinking with my sushi?" Well, Brant, I love the fact you pay attention. A lot of times when we talk about tuna, yes, Pinot Noir to me is the perfect accompaniment, depending on how it's prepared. But the key with sushi, you have to look at things as a whole. You have to look at them compiled. It's kind of like when we talk about egg dishes. You know, my personal opinion is that wine and eggs don't go together unless, of course, it's champagne. But the sauce and what goes into the eggs makes all the difference. Same concept with the sushi. There's a whole bunch of different rolls out there, whether it's made with tuna, salmon, crab. I'm trying to think. There's some shrimp rolls. And, of course, there's a lot of sashimi done with different white fish. When you think about what goes into it, you have soy sauce, you have rice, and of course, what is sushi without wasabi sauce, anything to set your sinuses on fire? When you put this together as a whole, you have to find a wine that complements everything. So whereas, yes, a glass of Pinot Noir and a piece of raw tuna, they're a great mix, but when you put the heat and the sweetness and the saltiness all together, you want something that balances it. And that's why you find the Rieslings, that's why you find Gewürztraminers, that's why you find white blends a lot of time featured at these sushi restaurants, because that added sweetness of the wine really makes the flavors of your sushi roll or sashimi pop. Because if you take a little bit of sweetness, you really get to taste the protein, you get to taste the saltiness, and of course, it helps keep the wasabi from killing you. So that's why you tend to find the whites all the way through. There is absolutely nothing wrong with drinking Pinot Noir, Cabernet Merlot, Zinfandel, Cabernet Franc, Malbec, whatever you want to drink when you were doing sushi, by all means, please do. But it goes back to the total food experience, total dining experience. So that's why you find the wines. So, Brant, I hope that helps. But just remember, as we always say, drink what you like, not what you're told. Feel free to ignore the specials.
Why do you say that wine doesn't go with eggs?
It's a really, really hard mix. If you put a plate of scrambled eggs with nothing in them in front of you, and you take a big sip of wine, you have a straight protein that's banded together almost callously in the fact that eggs can fall apart. That's why they're good bonding agents, but by themselves. So you take a big bite of eggs and you take a big swig of wine. They don't complement each other. They really, really clash. There's nothing in the eggs to help the wine set its different flavors and compartment off.
So I can't serve wine with a quiche or something?
What's going to be in your quiche?
Well, just all kinds of, you know, vegetables too.
Well, exactly. That's what makes a difference. Okay. You take an egg by itself and it's not the most exciting thing. You start adding salt, pepper, chives, garlic, and a quiche's sake. Of course, you have cream as a base. You have a little butter in there. You have the flavor of the crust. You have the yeastiness there. And then you, say, put in asparagus. You put in some Swiss cheese. You put in some Gruyere. All of a sudden, then you have contrast.
So it's not the substance of the eggs that's the turnoff there. It's just the pairing of the flavors.
It's the pairing of the flavors or lack thereof. Okay. I mean, ultimately, you take egg down to its basic part, you're going to get some sulfur off it. And anytime you put sulfur and egg together, a sulfur and wine together, it's never a good thing. In fact, it tends to be called a fault.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
But you can relate to that. All right. I have another quick email. This is from Karen in Gainesville. Karen writes, does the organic label on a bottle really make a difference? The label itself, no, Karen, it does not. Hopefully it was on recycled paper. Past that, no. But as far as if you're talking about the taste, the texture, the concept of the wine, that is something that's still up for debate. Bottom line on this, though, and of course, this is my personal opinion. You can take it with your 2 cents worth. If someone's farming organically, they're putting a lot of time and a lot of effort and really taking care of their crop. And if people are taking very good care of their crop, then usually the ensuing wine is going to be better than someone who just let the grapes grow randomly, wildly, put whatever they wanted to on it and didn't care. So does the organic label truly make a difference? That's going to be up for history to decide. My personal opinion is if a wine's grown organically, someone's paid attention to it. And anytime you pay attention to something, you hope it's going to be a better product. Well, we're going to take a small break right here. But when we return, we will welcome Mr. Alex Sokolblosser to the show and talk a little bit more about a sense of place.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Baby, when I think about you,
this is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and right now I have the intense pleasure of introducing Mr. Alex Sokolblosser. He is the co-president and the second-generation wine grower for Sokolblosser Winery in Oregon's Dundee Hills. Alex, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thank you so much, Laura. Pleasure to be here.
It is nice to have you here. It's been entirely too long since I heard that wonderful, bubbly voice of yours.
You're too kind.
Oh, well, you know better than that, but at least we're going to have fun with it for the time being. Now, for our listeners, Alex was on the show roughly about 2 years ago, and we talked about the different perspective Alex had, being, of course, a second-generation wine grower and being, you don't want to say young in the industry, but younger compared to some of the octogenarians that are in there. We laughed about the different techniques Alex had about social media. For our listeners, Alex was the one that had the ninja in the vineyards. So
that's right. We like to mix it up here.
Well,
you know,
tell our listeners about how you are doing things new and different and exciting. Of course, the Ninja is a great springboard for you, but tell us how we make it interesting at Sokolblosser.
Well, you know, we've got an amazing staff here, and that's what allows us to do what we do here with Pinot Noir and whatnot here in Oregon. But, you know, we also like to have fun, and, you know, at the end of the day, it's just wine, and we all know that sometimes good friends can make a bad wine taste really well, really good, so it's not just about the wine. So when we did the Ninja thing, that was purely about, well, we got a guy who's in the theater here, and
mm-hmm.
he bought this ninja suit, and he just said, hey, man, I'll get it on one day, and we can film something educational. I'll just be in the background swinging my ninja sword. And so we're like, sure, why not? And it just kind of was fun. People had a good time. It got a crazy amount of people who got on YouTube to watch it. And, I mean, we're not nuts here. It's just, you know, something crazy, a little bit fun like that. Why not?
Well, you have to. Now, see, here's the difference. Had I been doing something like that, I would have had no idea the ninja was behind me till it came up and tapped me on the shoulder with its sword. That's the kind of friends I have. They would have just deliberately slunk in the back of it to see if they could scare the hell out of me.
Nice.
All right. Well, Alex, what we're talking about in the show today is I was talking about sense of place. There were some recent laws that were passed in California. One of them, I don't know if you've heard of yet, but it's now, if you were from Dry Creek Valley in Sonoma, you have to put Sonoma on your label. And, of course, in Napa Valley, they're talking about tourism and everything going through. So kind of today's theme was, do the wineries make the place or does the place make the wineries? And I figured this was a great idea for you because when I spent some time with you, you were always saying Oregon first, Dundee yeah. Hills, Willamette second. So right. Today with you online, I want to talk about two things. Obviously, I want to talk about place and, of course, the fact that a group of you getting together makes Dundee Hills what it is. And, of course, we want to explore Sokol Blosser a little bit more in depth. So for our listeners, why don't we start with Sokol Blosser? Why don't you tell our listeners exactly what Sokol Blosser is and what you're about?
Yeah, real quick. I mean, my parents started Sokol Blosser back in 1971. We're one of the oldest wineries in Oregon. Our focus, our passion is Pinot Noir, and Pinot Noir is, again, the wine from Oregon. So we farm about 85 acres in grapes, and most of that's in Pinot. Our vineyards are certified organic, and that's something also that is not unique to Sokol Blosser because a lot of us in Oregon try to be as green as we can. So we have organic certification. Some of our neighbors have a third-party sustainable certification, and some of them even have something called biodynamic certification. So we try to be as green as we can be at Sokol Blosser, but also be green throughout the whole industry. Another thing we do at Sokol Blosser is we have a part of our business where we actually buy a bunch of grapes and some wine from other producers and make a couple blended wines. One is called Evolution and the other called Mediterrana, and these are fun, easy-drinking wines that go well with many different types of food. So, you know, mix it all together. We've got a lot of history. Got to focus on Pinot Noir. We try to be as green as we can be. And then also we have some fun with some fun blends.
Well, you have all the aspects of it. You have the Evolution of the Mediterranean, which I think both of them have been wine recommendations from me because they are easy drinking. They're great. It's kind of like you were talking about. You can have a mediocre wine, but if you have great company, you can make an outstanding wine. It's not saying your wines are mediocre, but these are the kind of wines that you sit around and you don't worry about what it costs. You don't worry about what's in the bottle. You enjoy your friends. You enjoy the wine. And the whole part is the wine is so good, it's secondary. It doesn't require comment all the way through. You've got your outstanding Pinot Noirs with all the different blocks and all the different vineyards you have. And plus, you've got a good family-oriented industry. So it on the outside, it looks like you have every piece that you could ask for.
Well, we do our dangdest, and my sister and I, we have fun at what we do, and we love the wine and food industry, and we love sharing our wine, so we feel very fortunate to be part of it.
I think
never tired coming to work.
I think people kind of look at, well, you shouldn't. You actually live on the winery, don't you?
I know.
Yeah, you don't have a choice. All you got to do is walk up the hill. They're going to find you one way or the other. They're going to find you. When you look at things objectively like that, you find a lot of people, not just in Oregon, Napa, California, Sonoma, Paso Robles, that have the small family wineries that are starting to sell out because of the economy or because of pressure, because they get tired of it.
Yeah.
You make a big deal of talking about being a second-generation wine grower and how you're looking forward to having a third and a fourth and a fifth generation. Is that the kind of dynasty you're seeing in your region, in your area, or is that just something that you as a Sokol Blosser want?
Well, I think that's something that we as a family want. Our goal when Allison and I took over the business 2 years ago, our goal was to be good stewards of the company so we could hand it over to the third generation. So the goal is to leave it better than how we found it. But I also think that, you know, people ask me what the future of Oregon is going to be like, and I think it's going to be a lot like Burgundy, where you have small houses and they just kind of go through families. And the focus, what allows us to make great Pinot Noir is there's no economies of scale. So making a little bit of great Pinot Noir is kind of more, it's easier for a small company to do than a very large enterprise. So being a small family business, small family winery, our focus is Pinot Noir. That fits for Sokol Blosser, but that also fits for Oregon, too, because the average size of a winery in Oregon is only about 5,000 cases. So when you drink an Oregon Pinot Noir, you're probably going to be drinking Pinot Noir from a small family operation that focuses its efforts on Pinot Noir and usually high-end Pinot Noir.
Well, the irony of this is I actually had an email question at the end of last segment. This guy from Tennessee was asking, he said, well, how come when I go to sushi restaurants, all I find are white blends, all I find are these sweeter style, lighter style wines? And ultimately, I don't know how many people truly think of Sokolblosser as a small family-owned winery, because you do walk into, whether it's sushi, Pacific Rim, Asian restaurants, and one of the first thing that jumps out at me is I don't think I've been in one in the last 4 months that didn't have Evolution on it.
Evolution is a bigger production wine for us, and we're probably, you know, everything's relative. Our production, Sokolblosser, puts us in as the 10th biggest winery in Oregon. But the biggest winery in Oregon is around, you know, 200,000 cases.
Oh, God.
That's fairly small compared to wineries in Washington and California. So in Oregon, we're big. But relatively speaking to California and Washington, we're tiny.
So you're a big fish in a small pond right now.
Right now, exactly.
We'll have to work on that because we want to get people thinking of you as a small fish in a small pond. But we're going to do that after we take a small break. So if you don't mind, hang out, and we're going to have a little commercial interlude, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about Sokolblosser in Oregon.
Right on.
All right.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Microlubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Microlubricant? Well, it's the only pure microlubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We have Alex Sokolblosser on the line. Alex, are you still with us?
I am still with you.
All right. It's amazing. I figured you'd run off screaming by now. Well, for our listeners, I want to start this segment off with a little story. As I've said ad nauseum, just came back from Oregon, spent some great time out at Sokol Blosser, but I went out there with a group of extraordinarily savvy wine people. This was a group that would scare most of the people in my industry to death by the time we got done with our questions and our knowledge. But the most fascinating thing, as I listened and I eavesdropped a lot, was people saying, wow, that's Domaine Serene. Wow, that's Druon. That's Archery Summit. And then they would be at Sokol Blosser and stand up and look, and but it's right there. I think a lot of people, when you talk about the prestigious, high-ranking Oregon Pinot Noirs, you know, Druon, Domaine Serene, Archery Summit, they definitely come to mind. And to see these people's reaction, to know that Sokol Blosser literally shares dirt and grapes with these people, you watched all their perceptions totally shifted. And it's not like they didn't take Sokol Blosser seriously before, but they looked at it with new eyes. Now, part of this goes into what we had talked about a lot out there, Dundee Hills and Oregon first, the winery second. Do you still agree to that? Is that still something you look at?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, when we go outside of the state, we really try to educate people about Oregon, because Oregon is a big state in size but small in population. Oregon's an ag state. There are people live in Oregon not to make a lot of money, but because it's a lifestyle state, and our neighbors. Who have come over the years since we started in 71.
Since you are the guy, man, you're the man. Y'all had it first.
Our next-door neighbor, Irie Vineyards, had it first. They came in 65, 66, but we were right after them. And so, yeah, we've been here for a while, and it's been great. I mean, the industry has been successful. The focus has been Pinot Noir. It's led to huge investment in the Dundee Hills and in Oregon, so that's been fun to see. And yeah, I think, you know, our focus and our passion is Pinot Noir, our biggest distributed wine is Evolution. So that's, people kind of tend to know us from that, but our focus, our passion is Pinot Noir, and we don't make as much Pinot Noir as Evolution, so it's harder to get. And I think that's why people go, oh, you make Pinot Noir too? So that's something that we're working on in the marketplace.
Well, I think if I want our listeners to come away with anything today, it's the fact that literally when you stand at the top of the hill and you look around and you see who your neighbors are, they need to come away with the fact that you are the value Pinot Noir producer in the sense of your neighbors that usually command two and three times what you're commanding. But also, what a great nature all of you had, in the sense that if I were down on Highway 29 right now, I seriously doubt that, you know, one of the companies that end in a vowel would be saying, oh, it's not about my winery, it's not about my winemaker, it is of course about the success of the valley. And I think that's something we have passed a long time ago, yet if I heard it once, I heard it forever. Dundee Hills first.
Yeah, I mean, we realize that in order for us to be successful in the marketplace as an industry, we need to promote each other and promote Oregon, because again, there's no big winery in Oregon that can foot the bill for a big marketing push. So, but if we all work together, pool our resources and pool our efforts, we can move Oregon forward. And that's kind of how we work as an industry. So while it is competitive in the marketplace, we also realize that if we work together, we can promote Oregon, promote Dundee Hills, and then once we get that far, we can start promoting ourselves. So it's fun. I mean, we like to collaborate. Collaboration is part of the Oregon wine industry.
Well, it's something that y'all definitely need to have, because you even alluded to it in the last segment. You said people would think of Oregon or the Pinot Noirs like Burgundy, or in the third generation, you see it being like Burgundy with the family zoning and the children having split it. And I think a lot of what caused the fame of Oregon, if we look at 10 years ago, oh, look, it's a little Burgundy. It's Pinot Noir. It's Pinot Gris. It's these unique whites. And I think what we're seeing now in the market is people are finally realizing, wow, Oregon's, well, better than Burgundy for what we're looking for price-wise, and it definitely has its own flavor. Do you think that the comparison between Oregon and Burgundy has been a favorable one, or has it done some damage to you?
Well, I think it's been very favorable, because when we did some of these big tastings, Oregon versus Burgundy, back in the late 70s, early 80s, and Oregon Pinot Noir was beating out some top Grand Cru, Premier Cru from Burgundy, that really helped put us on the map. And that also helped bring out our next-door neighbor, Domaine Duran, Oregon, as well. So I think it's been hugely powerful towards cementing Oregon as a top Pinot Noir producer in the world. And as you know, clearly Oregon Pinot Noir is not red Burgundy and vice versa. But when it comes to New World Pinot Noir, Oregon is tops.
No doubt about it. Without a doubt. Definitely for our Pinot Noir loving fans out there, definitely look for one of the Oregon ones and you will not be disappointed. Well, we're going to slowly wrap this up. But Alex, before we get to the end of the segment, where can our listeners find out more about Soca Blosser? Where can they find out more about you? What's the best reference guide for you?
Well, I always try to send customers to their favorite local wine shop and say, hey, if you don't have Soca Blosser wines in, I'm sure they can get them through our, because we're distributed statewide there in North Carolina. And if that doesn't work, try getting on the website. We have a website called SocaBlosser.com, just www.SocaBlosser.com. And you can call us from there. You can, you know, we have a whole bunch of, we just launched a new website, so it's full of stuff. But I always encourage you to go to your favorite local wine shop and ask if you can, if they have it in stock, and if not, maybe they can bring in a couple bottles.
I'm sure they probably can. And for our listeners in Chicago and Florida and the rest of the United States, I'm sure if you go to your local wine shops, they can let you find the wine as well. Well, Alex,
exactly.
If there was one parting thing that you wanted all of our listeners to know about Soca Blosser and or Oregon, what would it be?
I would say that it's important to explore and taste wine. And I hope during your exploration, you come across some Oregon Pinot Noir. And if it's Soca Blosser, even better. But wine is all about discovery and exploration. And I encourage you all to go out there and buy a bottle of Pinot Noir. Just buy a bottle of wine, because I love wine. And wine's good stuff.
It certainly makes our days go by a whole lot smoother and a whole lot happier.
Exactly. And drink it with someone you like hanging out with, because if you don't, it may not taste good.
Well, no, on the flip side of, if you're stuck with someone you don't like hanging out with, drink several, you'll be fine. All right, on that note, Alex,
Laura. Good job.
Thank you very much for being part of the Crush, and hopefully we will have you back on, and you can keep us updated on what's going on in the wonderful state of Oregon, the great area of Dundee Hills, and, of course, at Soca Blosser itself.
I love it.
All
Crush
right.
on.
All right, we're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we're going to wrap this great show up and give you an idea of what our decision was, whether the chicken or the egg came first.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20 year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make term life insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max it. Z-Max, added to your oil and your gas tank, can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro-lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger-running, better-performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood, concrete,
Brick walls.
Hi-ya!
Trees.
Hi-ya!
Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars.
Hi-ya!
It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
This is the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And today we have laughed and joked about which came first, the chicken or the egg. Which came first, the great wine regions or the fact that there were great wineries in them? And I'm going to point back, and of course, special thanks to Alex Sokolblaster for being part of the show. But I have to focus on what he said as he was closing out. He said, go buy a bottle of wine, go buy a bottle of Pinot Noir, and if it's Sokolblaster, even better. And that's what it comes down to, and that's what I really want to focus on as we wrap this up. We can look at Napa, we can look at Sonoma, and yes, all of us immediately know great wineries that came from there. But have they worked together? Have they truly joined forces to help make the region stand on its own and to make it outstanding? I think a lot of times we read and we see too many catfights going on. We see this all over the world, whether it's Burgundy versus Bordeaux, whether it's family versus family in Burgundy, whether it's the issues in Champagne. It is the attitude of Oregon and people like Alex Sokolblaster and Dundee Hills that is what's going to support and mainstream the wine education and the wine public about everything going on that's wondrous. When you have a whole bunch of wineries that are willing to stand together and be friends and be neighbors and be compatriots, it makes for an overall great experience, whether you're drinking Sokolblaster's Pinot, whether you're drinking Domaine Serene Pinot, whether you're drinking Archery Summit Pinot, everyone getting together and sharing and comparing notes and comparing taste and profiles and say, hey, I learned that this grape grew better on this incline or this grape grew better here. That is when they're working towards the common goal of making an exceptional product. And when you work together for a common goal, you're going to have better answers. We have better answers, you're going to have better wine. And at least that's our philosophy here at The Crush. The better the answer, the better the wine, or at least the more the wine, the more creative of the answer, however that's going to work. Well, as always, here on The Crush, we are reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.